Vita could not remember a time in her adult life when she had had nothing specific to do for days on end. She'd taken leave, of course, but she'd always had plans. A trip to take, a course, a family crisis that needed her time and talents. She had money enough. She hadn't spent all her salary since she made lieutenant, and her investments had prospered. She could live quite well on half pay. It was the idleness that bothered her, the sense of being cut off from her family. Well, she'd go home then, to the Serrano compound on Melander, that source of all, or at least many, of the Serrano family. Making reservations on a civilian ship was annoying. She tried to laugh at herself for expecting people to jump when she said hop, but it wasn't easy. She'd so often thought of civilians as disorganized, but when you didn't have a staff... She grumbled at herself repeatedly as she arranged to ship this and store that and decided what to carry on and what to stow in cargo. She recognized other flag officers the first day on the ship. By mutual, unspoken consent, they avoided each other. Though all wore uniforms at first, and of course they were entitled to do so on leave, she and most of the others changed to civilian clothes early in the voyage. Melander's orbital station had grown since she'd last seen it, but was still smaller than the huge combined fleet civilian stations she was used to. She saw plenty of people in uniform, but they ignored her. Ignored her just because she wasn't wearing hers. She glowered at them anyway. Two of them, at least, were Serranos. She caught a northside shuttle, checked the arrival station weather, and pulled out a warmer jacket. Early spring on Melander would be colder than the regulated temperature on a ship or station. The Serrano family compound lay along the shore of a lake, inaccurately named Serenity, since it seemed always ruffled by the breeze channeled up from the sea between the hills. All the fleet families who built compounds tended to the same organization. Separate houses for the guardians with young children, those with older children, for the transient younger officers, for the senior officers on long leave, for those in retirement. Flag officers each had an apartment, which might be used for a special guest when its owner was not in residence. Vita had never seen hers, having qualified for it since her last visit, but she knew it would be there, furnished with the things she had sent home over the years. It smelled of wax and wood and leather, and the clean, sharp scent of top-grade electronics. It was just as she'd imagined it, filled with souvenirs from all over the Familius, arranged attractively. And she hated it. The apartment was bigger than her quarters on station, but it felt cramped and closed in a way that ship compartments never did. She glared out the window at the lake. A walk, then, to work off this bad temper. On the way downstairs, she saw Sabatino, the other Serrano flag officer, and her distant cousin.
I hate planets.
So do I.
They had never been close friends, but they were both Serrano admirals and thus had common interests.
I'm going up in the mountains for a week or so. Leaving tomorrow.
Vita remembered that he had always liked wilderness camping.
I'm going for a walk. Dinner?
Might as well.
He waved and went on into his apartment. Out of doors felt entirely too exposed. The wind, no proper ventilation current, whipped the lake surface into choppy little waves and tried to push Vita sideways. Clouds rushed by overhead, and behind the clouds was that opaque lid which groundsiders insisted was beautiful, hiding the stars. She had liked the planet well enough growing up on it. She hadn't minded the blues and grays and mauves and pinks of the sky then, or the many shades of cloud. Vita pushed herself to walk faster, down the pebbled walk, across the road, to the footpath by the lake. Far out, bright sails glinted in red and yellow against the water. One thing about planets, you could walk a long way without retracing your steps. She walked herself breathless, heading east, well past the end of the Serrano estate. There had been a small cluster of shops down here at one time, where a public boat ramp gave access to the lake for those who didn't have waterfront property. Recovering her breath while waiting in a line of children for a drink and a snack, She chose tea and a cinnamon pastry, not the sweet drinks and cream buns the children were buying. She recovered her sense of humor as well.
Bannets are not that bad, all things considered.
Vita settled on a bench, protected from the wind by one of the shops, and looked at the hills behind the estates across the road. She had wandered there as a child, splashing in the creeks and exploring little hidden valleys. She had run down here, hot and thirsty, to buy the same sweet drinks.
Not bad at all, planets. If you're there by choice.
She would have to find something useful to do. With that resolve, she started back to the family compound, and by the time she arrived, she was quite ready for dinner with Sabatino. They chatted about music and art, her collection of modern prints and his of music recordings. He invited her to come hear Maliki Vusuba's new bassoon concerto in his apartment, and she spent a pleasanter evening than she'd expected, arguing about the merits of that controversial work. The next morning, however, he was gone, and she still hadn't decided what to do. She arranged a few ornaments, checked for a third time that everything had been put away neatly. The noise from outside brought her to the window of the second bedroom. The smallest Serrano children played in the garden between the houses, as she had done, screaming and laughing the way children always did. Vita looked down on their playscape with its ramps and towers and bridges, and found it hard to believe she had ever been that noisy. Now that she had noticed them, the noise seemed to pierce her head with little needles. Maybe the archives would be quieter. She went downstairs, and down again, into the underground library that housed the oldest documents the Serrano family owned. Rows of Serrano biographies. Vita reread Roger Xavier Serrano, one of her favorites. He had every attribute of a hero, including having made love to and won the heart of a beautiful heroine as brave as himself, and Millicent Serrano, born blind but gifted with extraordinary spatial abilities. She'd always meant to read about her own great-uncle, Alcandor, who had managed to get thrown out of the fleet for smuggling a tricorn vermuge onto a ship as a prank, and had then been readmitted because no one else could get it off. That story in the official biography wasn't nearly as good as she remembered from his tales on the front porch of Rest House when he was a retired commander with a gimpy leg and a strange green spot on his arm. The official biography didn't mention the Vermuge's lust for coffee, for instance, or the creature's curious mating behavior. Vita spent several days browsing the family biographies before she tired of that and looked around for something else. Battle reports. She'd seen all she wanted of battle reports. Service records, leave records, slim volumes of verse by Serranos who thought themselves poets. She opened one of these. Either Amory David Serrano wasn't a very good poet, or the language had changed a lot in the past 200 years. Mercedes Esperanza, on the other hand, had written erotic verses that should, Vita thought, have ignited the whole archive. But Mercedes had died young of a typical poetic fever. What kind of space commander would she have made? Stories, even. A few Serranos had written fiction, most of it clearly intended for children, and most of it, to Vita's taste anyway, pretty bad. Carlo and the Starship was nothing more than a child's tour of a passenger ship, with a biddable child asking obvious questions and a friendly puppy answering them. She passed by Carlo and the Power Plant, and Carlo Goes to the Mountains, and almost missed Long Ago on Altiplano.
Altiplano?
Her grandson's fiancé's homeworld. She pried it out of the tightly squeezed group of skinny children's books. Its pages had turned brown and brittle. The illustrations were not drawn in, but pasted on. Ancient, faded flatpicks.
Long ago on Altiplano, a great family ruled.
So they had. The family the Serranos had been bound to.
A beautiful world with magnificent snow-capped mountains and great golden plains of grass. To this world, the Garcia MacDonalds brought their people, who prospered there and spread across the fertile land, and their loyal guards and protectors, the brave Serranos, watched the sky above them and kept their ships safe from piracy.
That too, Vita knew. The Serranos had been their space militia. Someone else had been their ground militia.
A treachery surrounded them. They were betrayed by those they trusted to guard them.
Vita felt a chill. They hadn't been betrayed by Serranos.
By their soldiers on the planet.
That was better.
And they were all killed. The mothers and fathers and all the little children, because of the wickedness of the rebels and traitors. And that is why when we say our prayers, we do not ask for blessing upon the people of Altiplano. What an odd book for a child.
It was more like a diatribe, like a memoir. She looked on the other side of the gap in the row, but found only Carlo visits the observatory and Helen starts school, followed by three little Serranos visit the seashore. Nothing else with the same faded brown binding. Vita took her find over to the table and paged back through it. Very, very odd. Hand-printed, of course, and the flat picks glued on with something that had bled through. They were all blurry and faded, but one appeared to show a house, and another a face. The rest might have been landscapes. The pasted-in pictures made the book fatter than its spine suggested. No wonder the whole row had been wedged tight. Vita flipped every page, looking for any identifying mark. One of the flat picks fell off, and the paper folded behind it with it. She looked at it. Thin, almost translucent, brown on the folds. It had been there for a very, very long time. Perhaps she should get the family librarian. She might damage it by unfolding it. But she couldn't resist peeking.